in the countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform or just...
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on the driver who treats the highway like a racetrack and the shoulder like a passing lane. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California. Subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving, generally safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The wait is over. The total solar eclipse is now over the South Pacific, and it won't be long before we start to experience it here in the U.S. ABC's Jim Ryan is in Hillsboro, Texas, one of the prime viewing areas.
All around this community, groups of eclipse watchers have brought coolers full of sandwiches and water bottles. They've set up folding chairs to wait for the first signs of the eclipse. Some have traveled from the far reaches of the country, spent long hours on the road to bask in this town's 4 minutes and 23 seconds of darkness.
If you aren't in the path of totality, you may experience a partial eclipse. President Biden will announce a new student debt forgiveness plan on a campaign trip today to Wisconsin. Former President Trump says any restrictions on abortion should be left up to the states. Actor Jonathan Majors was sentenced to probation and avoided jail time in the assault of an ex-girlfriend. UConn and Purdue meet tonight in the NCAA men's basketball final. This is ABC News. The Vatican declares sex change operations and surrogacy as grave threats to human dignity.
In a strongly worded 20-page declaration that's been 5 years in the making, the Vatican's doctrine office puts the practices on par with abortion and euthanasia as things the church sees as violating God's plan for human life. In the document, the Vatican repeats its rejection of the idea that one's gender can be changed. It states that God created man and woman as biologically different, separate beings, and says they must not tinker with that plan or try to make oneself God. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
We still don't know the identity of the country's newest billionaire. Someone in Portland, Oregon won the $1.3 billion Powerball jackpot over the weekend. The winner has a year to claim the prize. According to state law, lottery players in Oregon cannot remain anonymous. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Marcus is a connoisseur of anything that's free, so he was happy to read the disclaimer on TurboTax Free Edition.
Roughly 37% of taxpayers qualify. Form 1040 and limited credits only. See how at TurboTax.com. That's me!
File your taxes 100% free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your max refund guaranteed. See if you qualify to file for free at TurboTax.com. See max refund guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Some people just know bundling with Allstate means big savings. Just like they know the right ingredient means big flavor. They know honey on pizza is where it's at. And olive oil on ice cream is the cherry on top. And they know when you bundle home and auto with Allstate, you can save up to 25%. Mm-mm.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. The woman who killed her friend with eye drops was sentenced to life in prison Friday. Waukesha County jury found Jesse Kershevsky guilty last November of poisoning Lynn Hernan with eye drops and stealing nearly $300,000 from her in 2018. The homicide charge alone carried a mandatory life sentence, but the conviction in the theft cases added 10 extra years. That means Kershevsky won't be eligible for parole until she's in her 80s. She was also sentenced to pay nearly $400,000 in restitution costs. In addition, Judge Jennifer Doro ruled that Kershevsky can't profit at all from her case. Roughly 60% of last week's school referendums were approved by voters.
A review by WisPolitics found more than $956.5 million of the $1.4 billion on the ballot for school districts around Wisconsin in Tuesday's spring election were passed. That's more than in the past three April elections, but still less than the $1.7 billion approved in 2020. Last week's largest approval, the $252 million referendum for Milwaukee Public Schools, which passed narrowly. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wake surfing is on the agenda for tonight's Wisconsin Conservation Congress spring hearings. Jamie Minnie Maples with Lakes at Stake Wisconsin says wake boats produce ocean-sized waves for people to surf.
We don't think that people should not be allowed to do this activity. We just think that it shouldn't be allowed to happen on any lake in Wisconsin.
The question before delegates in all 72 counties tonight asks whether the DNR should be able to prohibit wake boats on lakes smaller than 1,500 acres and shallower than 20 feet. They'd also need to maintain a distance of 700 feet from shore and other lake users. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies today with spotty sprinkle chances continuing. Winds are a touch breezy out of the southwest and warming us to the mid-50s today. Spotty showers still lingering tomorrow morning. Clouds won't clear to the afternoon, but we will see some sunshine and highs near 60. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions are new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart. Also, we're going to take a look at weather with DTN meteorologist Teresa Wells joining the show. John Baranek is off chasing the eclipse here today. So we're going to get to a look at weather with Teresa coming up here in segment two. In segment three, we're going to recap the latest ag economy barometer out from Purdue University and the CME Group. We'll talk with Dr. Jim Mintert, the director for the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. He's going to join us coming up after the bottom of the hour. And then we'll take a look at news headlines that we've been tracking here over the weekend and more. We'll look at those coming up in segment four today on AOA. Well, let's dive in and kick things off as we take a look at the market action we are keeping an eye on here at the early part of the week. Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart, joins us here today. Darren, thanks for being back with us here on AOA. Hope you had a great weekend.
Did have a nice weekend. You know, pretty quiet, early April, still not a lot happening, but, you know, it's going to get a lot busier as we start moving through these weeks.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot busier. This is really kind of that time frame where we're going to start to get more of that spring planting activity ramping up across the country, really the next 4 to 6 weeks. And largely, Darren, that will come into focus more in these markets, which to your point, really grains pretty quiet here end of last week and then getting into this week here. Things in the overnight trade and early on Monday, just really not a lot of fresh news to drive things, is there?
No, there really isn't. And, you know, I think what interested me most, you know, was looking back at last Friday with the CFTC commitments traders report. And as always, I look at the legacy futures only. We saw funds had actually increased their net short futures position in corn, soybeans, hard red winter wheat, and hard red spring. Chicago wheat, they actually decreased it a little bit. And what made this more interesting is that the famed and much hullabalooed Goldman roll began last Friday, where the large, you know, large commodity fund rolls its positions forward. So in this case, it would have been rolling from the May forward to the July contract. And so to go ahead and load up and increase their, you know, funds in general, increasing their short futures positions ahead of that, particularly in the grains, I find it interesting because what it tells us is the funds, non-commercials, Watson, whatever you want to call them, the large investment group globally, they're not afraid of these markets. They're not afraid of being short. They're not afraid of, say, Goldman rolling from one contract to the next. They're not afraid of possibly some commercial rolling of short futures, short hedges forward. They're just bearish this market. And while it does open the door for them to cover at some point and spark a rally at some point, it's telling us that the real fundamentals, these reads on real fundamentals, are not changing. They're still neutral to bearish, and funds aren't afraid of them.
Well, I wonder if the funds aren't scared of these grain markets because more of the activity and conversation is over in the outside markets here as of late, Darren.
Absolutely. And this is something that we have been seeing was that, you know, they were just getting out of grains. They were covering shorts. They were liquidating longs. You know, total open interest was coming down because there is some explosive markets. We've talked before about softs, you know, with coffee now the latest to move higher following cocoa. But if we really boil it down to the three kings of commodities, we've talked about corn. It's going nowhere. But if we look at gold, gold is just extraordinary right now. Crude oil had a big week last week in line with its seasonal tendencies. But I think gold is really in the spotlight at this point, you know, going to new all-time highs. But it's not stopping the buying, you know, into the actual cash market, owning physical gold. We've heard, I saw reports over the weekend that China had bought for the 17th month in a row. China was loading up buying gold. We know Russia's been buying. There's reports that India's been buying. So, and we've also got central banks around the world interested in owning gold. So, you know, it is the hot commodity right now. And again, it historically, it's been a safe haven market. Is this trying to tell us there's something coming? Is it just more of a reaction to central banks possibly lowering interest rates down the road? We don't know. But right now, what we can see is that, again, no one's afraid of buying gold up at these levels as they continue to load up.
Very, very true. Well, and I've been watching gold just continue to soar here, Darren, to your point, and this energy market and more. It feels like, again, maybe some of this is also that hedge against pesky inflation out here as well. I know there's just a lot of things at play here right now, Darren.
There really is. And I know there's a lot of discussion. There's always a lot of discussion last week about the next move by the U.S. Federal Reserve at Federal Open Market Committee. And you know, to me, watching the headlines come in, watching the statements being made and the speeches and this, you know, nothing has changed. They haven't changed the game plan. You know, Chairman Powell says, you know, that we're not going to be in a rush to start cutting interest rates. Well, that's been the playbook now for quite some time. The market's still showing us that there could be 2 to 3 interest rate cuts coming along the road here in 2024. We just don't know exactly when. The Fed isn't going to tell us exactly when until it happens, but they'll certainly kind of tip their hat once we get close. And we're hearing other Fed governors saying, you know, maybe we won't see any, maybe this, maybe that. And, you know, the market's been all over the place. We've seen stocks rally to new highs and then fall back. So, you know, the general, I guess the bottom line is the U.S. economy remains strong. Inflation's still a bit of a problem for a lot of folks. And so they're not going to make any drastic, rash moves on interest rates as far as cutting goes. And so this does continue to provide some support to some outside markets.
Well, I know as well, Darren, we continue to watch the bird flu outbreak in dairy cattle, and largely we're starting off the week here kind of quiet in the livestock trade. To me, despite everything going on, it feels like a lot of the movement in the cattle here last week, the volatility, the downward pressure, a lot of it psychological in nature. Would you agree?
Yeah, and it's interesting you put it psychological in nature. Because as we watch the future spreads, it wasn't the commercial side. It wasn't those who are actively involved in, you know, the cattle markets and so on, the physical cash cattle markets, that they weren't the ones that were selling. We could see that in spreads. We could see it in basis. This was all coming from funds. And again, Watson, you know, what I like to call the global algorithm industry as a whole, they were bailing out. They were getting out, and it was tied to headlines. That'll pass. And then we'll see what we're left with. And we'll see where we can rally from. But the cash market did not fall apart. We did see some pressure on the boxed beef. I think that was a point more of opportunity than anything else. So we'll see over the coming weeks if the cattle markets start to stabilize.
Very, very true. We'll keep our eyes on it. Again, joining us here on AOA today, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. You can also learn more at darrennewsom.com. Darren, thanks for joining us on the show. We appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
Darren Newsom there joining us today on AOA. All right, coming up next, we will take a look at weather with DTN meteorologist Teresa Wells. We'll be back with more on AOA brought to you by Cenex and Cenex Premium Diesel on the way right after this. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkEgg and hit the subscribe button, or you can search for Market Talk Egg on YouTube.
Wheat growers of the North, it's time to push performance to answer the call of Westbred wheat. With regionally proven varieties like WB9590 and WB9479 with high protein, yield potential, and standability. Trust Westbred wheat to help you get the most out of every acre. Now's the time. Boldly grow. Seize the season with Westbred wheat. Performance may vary. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here on AOA today. The show brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, let's take a look at what is happening with the weather here as we kicked off another week. And I know a lot of folks have been talking about the eclipse on Monday and more. Also, we saw plenty of high wind in parts of the Plain States over this past weekend. We're going to run through things right now. Joining us for a conversation, DTN meteorologist Teresa Wells is with us here on AOA today. Teresa, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jesse.
Well, I mentioned the eclipse, and I know that Mr. Baranek is off chasing that here today, so we appreciate you filling in. Just real quick, for folks who are kind of in that path of totality, so to speak, I know there's been some chatter. There could be some broken clouds and maybe some storms, so maybe not everyone necessarily is going to have a great view of things, it sounds like, here today. Could you share some insight on that real quick, Teresa?
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, with that path of totality, there's definitely going to be a battle with cloud cover. We've got the HET low pressure system in the Midwest. We've also got the chance for storms in the southern U.S., and that path of totality runs from Texas through Maine. So right now, I think the best shot at seeing, mostly clear skies would be across New Hampshire and Maine up in the northeast there. Elsewhere, though, they're definitely going to have to battle some spotty clouds or completely overcast skies.
All right. Well, that's some things to think about here for folks who are looking at that eclipse on Monday. Let's talk about this past weekend. I know I had seen really high wind warnings stretching from the Canadian border to the southern border. A lot of talk about maybe dust storms and more, a lot of those high winds coming off the Rockies here this past weekend. Talk to me about get us up to speed on some of this weather activity that we saw the last couple of days, Teresa.
Yeah, it was quite an active weekend, especially across the plains there. We had a low pressure system move in from the west, and it's even still lingering across the Midwest here on Monday. We had some severe weather tag portions of the central plains. They saw some high winds, 50 to 60 mile per hour gusts with some of those thunderstorms that rolled through, especially across Nebraska and Kansas. And then on the backside of this low pressure system, we got some snow and some high winds as well. I know portions of western Nebraska saw some gusts up to 60 to 70 miles per hour yesterday. And on top of that, they were getting some snowfall, so that definitely created some blizzard conditions for them out there.
Yeah, and thinking about that and watching that system work through here, this past weekend, we look at this week ahead, and I know we're kind of in that window now, Teresa, where we're trying to get spring planting rolling in many parts of the country. I know there's some areas that have had some moisture deficits, and this active pattern looks like it's kind of continuing here for the week ahead. So what are some features you're watching here? Are we going to have some windows this week, next week, to start some spring planting across a wide area of the Corn Belt? What's some of the latest you're seeing, Teresa?
Yeah, so there's certainly going to be those windows, but like you mentioned, it's going to be active still. And that's something that we always see every spring, is just an active pattern as those jet streams adjust here. And really, this week, we're going to be watching the southern U.S. They're going to stay pretty active. They're going to have daily chances for possibly, strong to severe thunderstorms, especially across the southern plains, southern Mississippi Delta, and even into the southeast here as we go through Wednesday. And then that threat could even shift a bit farther north into the Tennessee and Ohio valleys as we go into Thursday there. We're going to be watching a pretty decent low pressure system develop in the southern plains and eventually shift northeast into the Ohio Valley here as we go through the week. And this is going to provide some areas of heavy rainfall as well. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for those farmers down in the southern U.S. to get more field work done, as they're going to be dodging some heavy rain showers.
We are talking with DTN meteorologist Teresa Wells here today on AOA. Teresa, thinking about here getting through the month of April, and not just the week ahead, but really looking towards the back half of the month. I mean, with this active pattern that we've been in, there's been a lot of talk about the shift to, between El Nino and La Nina, things like that. What are some of the longer range models looking at? What are some things you're seeing here? So we look at the back half of April into May, et cetera. Anything big stand out to you right now?
Yeah, so as we go through the rest of April here and into May, we're definitely going to see that active weather pattern still favor the southern U.S. and eastern U.S., particularly keeping in mind that area across the southern Mississippi Delta. You know, it's odd because they've started out in a drought here this winter, and now a lot of their soil moisture is sitting really well, and even some kind of saturated areas. So we're still keeping a watch on that kind of eastern half. So anywhere east of the Mississippi there, they could certainly remain active into May here. Now that doesn't necessarily mean the rest of the central U.S. is going to remain mostly dry. They'll still see some chances for scattered showers here and some dry stretches as we go through the rest of April. As we go into May here, things still favor that active weather across central southern plains. So definitely, you know, as we get into spring here, we're going to still see those chances for some thunderstorms across the plains. And then we're also still watching that southern Mississippi Delta staying active into May. So it's definitely going to be a little bit more challenging for them down there as we try to wrap up the planting season for them going into May.
Okay. All right. Let's go to South America real quick, Teresa. Brazil, Argentina, largely, it feels like we haven't forgotten about the weather down there, but it's not as big of a focus as kind of the shift turns a little bit more to the U.S. planting windows. But anything of note for you in Brazil or Argentina that we're watching here this week?
Yeah, so for this week, still looking like a fairly active pattern for Brazil and Argentina. They're going to see some rounds of precip here. So overall, things are looking pretty favorable for them. The main thing we are keeping an eye on, though, is as we go into next week. Next week's going to be an interesting forecast as a pretty strong cold front starts to move into Argentina and eventually makes its way into southern, central, northern Brazil as we go through next week. It's what we're watching is really behind that cold front. That's where we could see the potential end for Brazil's wet season rain showers. And we are still watching that Safrinha corn go through pollination right now in central Brazil. So it'll be interesting to see how these wet season rain showers come to an end. And if they do, we'll have to keep an eye on that Safrinha corn crop in central Brazil.
All right. Teresa, any other notes for you on the weather front here before we wrap it up in this segment? Anything else we need to watch or anything you want to reiterate to folks listening in here as we're watching the weather this week?
I will just say, you know, reiterating that severe weather potential across the southern U.S. If you're a producer down there, definitely keep an eye out for the potential for some rounds of severe thunderstorms that'll carry the risk for damaging winds, pretty large hail, and even a few tornadoes.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes open for things on the severe weather front. And as always, appreciate the time. DTN meteorologist Teresa Wells. Teresa, thanks for joining us here on AOA today and giving us a rundown of the weather. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
Once again, Teresa Wells there, DTN meteorologist, joining us here today on Agriculture of America. Keeping our eyes on that weather as we really get into the heart of spring planting season here the next couple of weeks ahead. It's going to be very, very key to watch some of those windows. I know a lot of farmers are itching to get out there and get to planting. So we're going to be keeping our eyes on things pretty closely here and watching how things go over the next couple of weeks ahead. All right, on the way next here on AOA, we continue to watch the latest with the Ag Economy Barometer. What is that farmer sentiment like across the country, across the U.S., and how things are shaping up from month to month? Well, we tracked that with our friends at the Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture. Dr. Jim Mintert is the director for the Purdue Center for Commercial Ag, and he is going to join us on the way next here to run through the latest numbers from the Ag Economy Barometer. We'll be back with that here on AOA, brought to you by Senex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Senex premium diesel fuel. More at Senex.com. We'll be back with more on AOA right after this.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. Being from Oklahoma, I know a thing or two about natural disasters. Tornadoes are common where I'm from and have affected my life and the lives of people I care about. No matter where you live, be aware of the dangers in your area and have a plan. You can create an emergency kit, come up with an evacuation plan, and know where to seek shelter. You never know when a disaster may hit. These simple steps can help save a life. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National...
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. May milk up 32 to 1673, June up 33 to 1737, July up 20 to 1781, August milk up 17 to 1823. Live cattle markets were mostly higher on the day as the trade, while they've been nervous about the threat to the safety of the country's beef supply due to the avian influenza outbreak in dairy cattle, there hasn't been really any issues regarding that, and that's why some of the live cattle markets moved higher on a lot of short covering after the speculators sold off last week. Now, feeder cattle, they were mostly lower. January's inventory report is somewhat bullish, and some of these surprises like the bird flu in older dairy cattle can also temporarily hit the feeder cattle markets, and that's again really what happened today. Hog markets, meanwhile, they moved mostly higher. Still expectations of bullish consumer demand for pork. April live cattle up $1.15 to $179.40. April feeder cattle up $1.60 to $239.30. April hogs up 42 cents to $89.75. Corn futures were slightly higher. Soybeans slightly lower. Wheat mixed. A lot of positioning on the day. New crop corn up a half to 473. New crop beans down a half to 1184 and a quarter. And May wheat down 1.5 to 565 and three quarters.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Just like you, Senex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Senex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Senex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Senex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by our friends at Cenex and Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. You can trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex or visit them online for more information at cenex.com. Well, let's take a look at the latest Ag Economy Barometer results from Purdue University and the CME Group. Joining us now with the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, Dr. Jim Mintert is with us here today on the show. And Jim, welcome back to AOA. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity.
Well, let's take a look at the March results here, Jim. And farmer sentiment continued to improve a little bit. Give us the quick high-level overview of some of the top-line numbers this month, Jim.
Yeah, so the Ag Economy Barometer, the overall sentiment index, did show a modest improvement. It went up just 3 points to 114. You compare that to a year ago, it was down 3 points. So not a lot of movement in the overall measure of sentiment. The interesting thing, though, was when you looked at the two sub-indices, the Index of Current Conditions and the Future Expectation Index, there was a divergence. People became more optimistic about the future while their current condition expectations or index actually fell a couple of points. So all of the improvement in the sentiment and the overall measure of sentiment came about because people felt a little bit better about the future. And it was a little bit hard to ascertain exactly. I didn't explicitly tell us why they felt better. But if you looked at the responses to other questions in the survey, I think one of the keys was people became a little bit more optimistic about the interest rate environment. Mm-hmm. And in particular, when we asked them about interest rates, you know, what they thought was going to happen to the U.S. prime rate over the course of the next year, fewer people said they think rates are going higher, and more people said that they think rates are going down. And so, you know, that was a pretty clear-cut change relative to what we were seeing, for example, last summer. And I think the last time we asked this question was actually back in December. You can really see the change in that interest rate perspective. And I think that translated into a more positive view of the future. It showed up in the Farm Capital Investment Index. People were a little bit more positive about whether or not now is a good time to make investments in things like farm machinery. People were a little more optimistic about farmland values. And again, both of those could be tied back to an improved interest rate outlook because agriculture is so capital intensive. Interest rates matter a lot.
They do. They matter so much. And Jim, I know the last few months you and I have talked about this and you've really highlighted the thoughts of this cost price squeeze type of environment. Has anything, even with some of these changes, has anything changed in your perspective of some of that cost price squeeze potential here for agriculture this year?
No, that's still a concern. And, you know, when we ask people what their biggest concerns are for the upcoming year, they still point to high input cost. The change that has taken place over the course of the last 12 months is more people are worried about the risk of lower crop and livestock prices. This month, I think 26% of the people in the survey cited that as one of their top concerns. A year ago, that was down to 18%. So we're clearly worried about some more traditional concerns, which is lower prices for what we produce. And secondly, clearly worried about a cost price squeeze. People were a little less worried about interest rates. A year ago, 25% of the people, one out of four respondents, said they were worried about rising interest rates. This year, it was one out of five, 20%. So you can kind of see, again, that expectation that interest rates are going to be less of a problem going forward than they have been here recently. At least that's the expectation. And I think people have been looking pretty closely at the business news and what the Federal Reserve has been saying with respect to interest rates cuts coming in 2024 and looking forward to it.
Well, and thinking about some of those capital investments too, I know that I've talked with some folks on the equipment side here recently, and that used market is still pretty hot. There's a lot of things out there that that farmers are looking at. I know too, farmland values. That's another aspect here in this whole equation that we need to think about. And you guys look at that on the farmland value expectations. Talk about that part of this month's survey.
Yeah, again, the Farmland Value Expectation Index, the short-term index, the one that looks ahead 12 months, moved up 9 points, which is a fairly big increase for that index in 1 month. It left that index not only 9 points higher than last month, but I think 11 points higher than a year ago. And when you look at the, not just the index, but the raw responses to the question that it's based on, you can kind of see the difference. The reason it jumped like that was of a jump in the percentage of people who said they actually expect farmland values to go up. That went to 38% of the people in the survey this month. You know, I think last month it was around 31 or 32%. There was a small decline in the percentage of people who say they think farmland values are headed lower. But the bigger jump, the bigger change, was in the percentage of people who say they really think farmland values are headed higher. And I think at least part of that is responsible or attributable to the fact that people are looking for some softness in interest rates as we move through 2024.
We're talking with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University's Center for Commercial Agriculture about the latest Ag Economy Barometer. Jim, you guys had another question in here that I wanted to ask you about. Percentage of respondents reporting discussions with companies about carbon capture, utilization, and storage or solar leasing. And these are topics that I've been hearing a lot of conversations with farmers and ranchers about these things. It's been in the ag news media and more. What are some of the things that you guys found as you asked this question in the survey?
Yeah, so really a couple of questions. One, we've been asking about solar energy going back for, I think, 3 years. We started asking people about that in 2021. This month, we've changed the question these last 2 months a little bit. We're asking people, have you engaged in a discussion with companies about solar leasing in the last 6 months? We thought we were picking up some older responses with previous survey questions, so we really wanted people to focus on what's going on now. 12% of the people in the survey said that they've had a discussion in the last 6 months. That's up relative to some prior surveys. I think in prior surveys, it was more in the range of about 8 to 10%. So there at least a small increase showing up there. Still a significant amount of activities, particularly when you think about just the last 6 months. And then the carbon capture, utilization, and storage, similar question. We didn't restrict this one to the last 6 months because it's still pretty new, but this one surprised us a little bit. 18% of the people in the survey said they'd had a discussion with a company about carbon capture, utilization, and storage. So I didn't have a strong a priori in terms of what people would tell us on that one, but that's almost one out of five. So that was a little surprising in terms of how many people said they'd had at least a conversation about it. And then the follow-up on solar was we asked people about, you know, what kind of rates are people talking about for the long-term period, the actual solar energy production period. And we'd heard some discussion that these rates have been rising, and we've been asking this question going back to 2021. Over half, 54% of the people in the survey said they were offered a rate of over $1,000 an acre. And roughly one out of four, 27%, said they were offered a rate equal to or above $1,250 an acre. Those are higher rates than what we picked up in prior surveys. So it's pretty clear the rates for solar leasing for energy production have been rising over the course of these last 3 years. And the related point, we haven't asked a question about this, but I think we will in future surveys. We're starting to wonder whether or not what's going on in the solar energy area and possibly the carbon capture area, whether or not that might be a factor that's influencing farmland values.
Interesting things to definitely think about. One other area I want to ask you about as I was reading through this month's survey results. We know it is an election year, of course, and I know you guys asked some questions based on farmers' policy expectations here. It looked like there was a few interesting nuggets there. Could you share some thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we're trying to do a few questions in advance of the election, and then we'll do some follow-up after the election to see how people's attitudes change. But the first question we asked is, following the fall 2024 elections, do you think there will be government policy changes that affect your farm? And 80% of the people said, yeah, we are concerned about that. I thought that was interesting. We'd had no idea what kind of response we'd get out of that, but 8 out of 10 people said they're concerned there could be some changes that could impact their farm. And then the follow-up question was, we asked, you know, do you think regulations impacting ag will be more restrictive or less restrictive or about the same following the fall 2024 elections? We got a split response. Very few people think it's going to be less restrictive. It was about 1 out of 5 said less restrictive. A little over 40% said more restrictive. About 40% said about the same. And then we did another follow-up. Do you think taxes impacting agriculture will be higher, lower, or about the same following the fall 2024 election? Very few people expect lower taxes. 11% chose lower taxes. Roughly 40%, I think it was actually 39% of the people in the survey said higher taxes, with 50% saying about the same. But I kind of come back to, I think there's just a lot of uncertainty. That first question, 80% of the people tell us they're concerned that they could see a change following the fall 2024 elections that will affect their farm. And I think a lot of uncertainty is what that change might be and whether or not it'd be good or bad for their farm.
Well, very interesting results, of course. So we're going to continue to follow things. And Jim, if folks want to take a look at the full Ag Economy Barometer each month, I know they could do that easily online. Where can they find details?
Yeah, so you can find us. Probably the easiest thing to do is just in your favorite search engine, just type in Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. Once you do that, you'll get to our home website, and there's a button at the top that mentions the Ag Economy Barometer. That takes you to a separate page, and then you can see the report, as not only for this month, but you can see historical reports and a complete set of charts for all the questions that we ask people.
Always enjoy the conversation. Dr. Jim Mintert, Director for the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. Thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, Jess. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll take a look at news headlines and wrap things up on the way right after this.
Attention landowners. Got big plans for your land? Tackle all your spring projects with a powerful John Deere machine. And now with 0% APR for 72 months on select compact tractors, riding lawnmowers, and Gator utility vehicles, plus up to $2,000 off select compact tractors. It's never been easier to get in the sea. Offer available April 1st through 30th. Visit JohnDeere.com to find your local dealer. For complete finance details, please call toll-free 1-800-226-8903.
I lock up my Old Spice Fiji Aluminum Free Dry Spray to keep that 24/7 lasting freshness safe for myself. Fresh coconuts, palm trees in the wind. It's like catching waves in Fiji. Actually, I just talked myself into a refreshing spritz of Fiji. My Old Spice is missing! No!
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
On the April episode of the Monthly Grind, we discuss the latest on SAF and corn as a feedstock for SAF with Lane Howard from the Missouri Corn Growers Association and John Del Monte from the Michigan Corn Growers Association.
We've seen the growth of the aviation industry, specifically the commercial industry. By 2030, we're looking for 8 billion passengers. SAF helps offset those carbon emissions, sometimes up to 80%, and so that's going to be critical for all of those commercial airliners to reach their sustainability goals.
Corn is a very sustainable ethanol to jet pathway for SAF. Obviously, as the markets are kind of reflecting here recently, there's an abundance of corn. So we know that we have an abundant feedstock for an ethanol to jet pathway. And so we're having more conversations about what it's going to take to make SAF a reality when we have eager buyers like the commercial airline industry.
Tune in the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the Monthly Grind and learn more at ncga.com. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us here on the program today, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Extreme cold temperatures put your vehicles to the test. Cenex premium lubricants are made with quality ingredients to keep you going. Learn more online. Just go to Cenex.com. Well, we continue to follow highly pathogenic avian influenza's infection in multiple dairy herds in several states. Chris Galen is the Senior Vice President of Member Services and Governance with the National Milk Producers Federation. He says the pasteurization process kills bugs like this, thus it is safe for humans to drink the milk from cattle that may have been infected with bird flu.
You know, the fact that we are dealing with bird flu is not news. We've had bird flu in the U.S. for a number of years. The fact that it's in dairy cattle or a different species, that's what makes this an unusual situation. I think the good news is that everything we've seen so far indicates that even though wild birds have introduced this to a handful of herds, it's only about a dozen at this point, it doesn't seem to bother or infect most of the animals in those herds. Most of the animals come back after being ill. They return to feed consumption and milk production, and it doesn't seem to be really transmitted to people. So it's something we're going to have to manage and continue monitoring. I know it's a lot of people are anxious, but a lot of it has to do with the unknown simply because we haven't had to deal with this virus in cattle before.
Galen says that NMPF wants to remind dairy operations that biosecurity is paramount after finding bird flu in several U.S. states.
Where we didn't think it was going to be an issue, but lo and behold, Mother Nature has other plans. And so we're going to have to step up our efforts to be biosecure and in particular look at bird control because it's not a mystery as to how this got introduced. Right. We know it was transmitted from wild birds. And so it's a challenge for a lot of farms that are close to the flyways where we're seeing birds migrate this time of year. But that's the issue, right? It's not something that's just magically appearing. It's coming from the sky, but it's coming from a source that we know. So at least that gives us then the opportunity to focus our resources on what's going to try to mitigate any further spread of the virus.
And once again, that is Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation. Coming up on tomorrow's AOA, we are looking forward to sitting down and having a conversation with Greg Dowd, the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. I know we will for sure touch on some of the latest surrounding the bird flu outbreak in dairy. Also, though, we're going to talk about the federal milk marketing order modernization process and where things stand with FMMO, and Greg's outlook for his first year here in office as the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here tomorrow on AOA. Well, after about 3 years of not growing litter sizes, the recent Hogs and Pigs report released by the USDA showed a record number of 11.53. Steve Meyer with Ever.ag says that was the market mover, productivity. However, with third and fourth quarter numbers getting pretty large with productivity increases, plus greater than expected farrowing intentions, he thinks demand is carrying the day.
I'm a little concerned about the third and fourth quarter numbers relative to packing capacity, especially with the closure of the Tyson Perry plant. So I think the remarkable thing about the report is we went through what on paper was the worst year ever for pork producers in 23, and we haven't cut back supply.
Producer costs have also gone down dramatically. Last year, $97 on carcass, and right now about $86, according to Meyer, who adds his numbers have turned positive at $2 per head, whereas last year it was minus 27. Local hog marketings are already set, so the number of hogs won't change. When it comes to price, as capacity contracts, Meyer says the buying power goes into the hands of packers, leading to low spot hog prices.
Now, many producers have their at least part of their price tied to the cutout value, and that wholesale demand situation is one of the reasons you see the strength in the summer futures. Is wholesale demand looks excellent, driven in part by very good exports, and we think those are going to continue.
And once again, that is Steve Meyer with Ever.ag. Well, fuel and electricity prices are on the rise again amid declining farm income. Unleaded gasoline averaged $3.54 a gallon nationally last week, up 14% from the start of the year. Diesel averaged $4. American Farm Bureau economist Betty Resnick says that's taking a toll on producers as we near planting season.
That does take a lot of fuel to do what we need to do. You also have things like the cost of electricity also impacts farmers a lot for their grain dryers, or if you're a high energy cost production like poultry production.
Electricity costs were also rising.
Across the entire Midwest, electricity prices are up 5.5% year over year. And in the upper Midwest, that was even higher in like Minnesota and the Chicago area.
Wars overseas, OPEC production cuts, and U.S. refinery disruptions are blamed for higher gas and oil prices, with oil at a six-month high last week on fears of an Israel-Iran conflict. All this is AFB's Resnick cites declining farm income.
We are projected to have lower incomes both year over year from last year, and it was also a decrease in income the year before. So 2 years of declines in incomes.
USDA forecasts about a 25% drop in net farm income this year. Resnick says a positive note is declining natural gas prices, keeping ammonia and thus fertilizer prices in check. Another is USDA REAP grants and loans to buy renewable or energy-saving systems. And finally, here today on the program, in February, America's trade deficit reached $68.9 billion, the highest disparity in almost a year. The Hill says import values exceeded exports by more than analysts were expecting. The total value of imports hit $331.9 billion, while exports were $263 billion, and the overall deficit rose 1.9% during the month. Republicans on Capitol Hill have expressed frustration with what they call an unambitious trade strategy and inadequate initiatives undertaken by U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai. While they expect trade fluctuations, Republican senators wrote to Tai saying the current sharp decline in America's agricultural exports is directly attributable to a trade strategy that doesn't meaningfully expand market access or reduce barriers to trade. Now, February trade data shows a year-to-year decline of $729 million in the foods, feeds, and beverages category of national exports. Soybean exports dropped by $1.9 billion. Wheat dropped by $429 million, and dairy products by $97 million. Well, with that, we are out of time here on AOA today, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Coming up tomorrow on AOA, we'll talk with Greg Down from the National Milk Producers Federation and the latest meat demand monitor with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Tracy Lawrence for the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way.
I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream. I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com, founded by a family of leaders in the diamond industry for more than a century. We're experts in ecologically friendly lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Come clean with Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10.